Daybreak on BizNews is proudly brought to you by Bonitas, the medical aid for South Africa.
South Africa heads into Friday with pressure on the DA, fresh questions over foot and mouth disease, and global markets watching oil and artificial intelligence. Good morning. This is the BizNews Daybreak. I'm Asim Anyite. Coming up, the latest overnight world news from Bloomberg, Alec Hogg on the DA's by-election strength and its new credibility problem, Bloomberg on oil prices and Iranian supply, KwaZulu-Natal farmer Pete Keane on the cost of the FMD crisis, and OpenAI's proposal to give the US government a stake in the AI boom. We begin with the global picture. First up, our partners at Bloomberg give us the latest overnight world news.
President Trump made more than 21,000 securities trades during his first year back in office. The president averaged 85 trades per market day, with many involving large companies that have business with the federal government. Now, Trump's financial disclosure for 2025 shows the total dollar value somewhere between $600 million and $1.86 billion. Employment growth was slower than expected in June. Non-farm payrolls rose by 57,000 last month, and there were downward revisions to the numbers for the prior 2 months. At the same time, the unemployment rate in June fell to 4.2%. Now, the data support the notion that the Fed will not raise rates anytime soon. We got reaction from Kevin Hassett, director of the National Economic Council.
This one came in a little bit below expectations, but if you lift up the hood, then the basic story that we think is animating the economy right now is that there's a construction boom. It's the biggest construction boom we've ever had, in part because in the Big Beautiful Bill, we allowed people to expense factory construction.
That is NEC Director Kevin Hassett speaking earlier to Bloomberg. Anthropic is reportedly in talks with Samsung to be a manufacturing partner for a custom AI chip. The information cited people familiar with the plan. It was a mixed day for the equity market in front of tomorrow's holiday. The Dow Industrial Average rose more than 1% to a record high, 52,900. Shares in Coke led the advance. They jumped 3.5% after Coke invited investment banks to pitch for roles on the planned IPO of the company's Indian bottling unit. That could raise about $1 billion. On the negative side, semiconductor shares fell for a second straight session. We had the Philadelphia Semiconductor Index dropping more than 5%. Here is Bloomberg's Eric Weiner.
What appears to be going on is sort of a consolidation of the AI trade, where we're really focusing now on the chip stocks, the memory stocks that are part of the build out of the AI data centers. But everybody else is kind of taking it on the chin.
That is Eric Weiner, Bloomberg senior editor for Equities Americas.
Back home, we start with politics. On BizNews Edge, BizNews founder Alec Hogg looks at new by-election data showing the DA ahead of the ANC nationally in local ward by-elections. But those numbers landed in the same week that John Steenhuisen made explosive claims about Tony Leon's Resolve communications, raising fresh questions inside the party. Here's Alec Hogg.
Gareth van Onselen of Victory Research is our best analyst on polling data here in South Africa. He's proved himself time and again. And his newest initiative, which is called By-Election Track, has now closed the book on the 2021 cycle. This is because all of the by-elections, more than 400 of them, are now over until the big election comes on the 4th of November. By-elections, if you didn't know, are when a ward councillor who is voted in decides to either leave the party or to exit politics or sadly dies, and then they need to get someone to replace them. That's called a by-election. Well, for the first time, Van Onselen's numbers show that the DA is now outpolling the ANC nationally in local ward by-elections. Couldn't come at a better time for them, looking at the big election coming just around the corner in November. The ANC is stuck at an all-time low. The DA is pulling clear and getting stronger. And smaller party watchers take note, the Patriotic Alliance has quietly climbed past the EFF, its support trending sharply higher right through this last five-year cycle. But here's the catch. That DA number was measured before this week's own goals. Its immediate past leader, John Steenhuisen, has accused his predecessor by one, Tony Leon's Resolve Communications, of buying privileged access to DA ministers on behalf of private clients, even claiming this is actually what cost him the agriculture portfolio. Tony Leon, essentially the founder of the modern DA, hit back hard, called it baseless. But Steenhuisen's allegations opened the door for the DA and the Leon's own enemies to go crazy after them. The ANC and Action SA are both demanding investigations, not just into the DA, but into Tony Leon's company. Well, my view is that the DA has just posted its best by-election numbers of the cycle, and then it detonated a credibility bomb in the same week.
Next to oil. Bloomberg Intelligence's Mike McGlone says crude prices may be heading lower despite recent tension in the Gulf. His argument is that higher prices have already encouraged more supply, softened demand, and changed the balance in the global oil market. Here's Bloomberg.
I think when you're driving that down that New Jersey Turnpike, when John is, I think by the end of this year, you're going to be paying $2 a handle for gasoline versus $3.80 wow. right now. Yep. It's a typical cycle. I'll be publishing that on Monday when we come back. It's a normal cycle. But the key thing about crude oil is we're learning the lessons of elasticity. And it just reiterated that major trend in the world of the Western Hemisphere becoming the price maker status. Now you've seen a lot of the professionals like Morgan Stanley and Goldman Sachs coming down their estimates, but they're realizing what happened is that spike in prices is now increasing that supply, decreasing demand, and adding to that process of technology, hurting both sides of supply and demand of crude oil. So I guess we're not priced for a lot of risk this weekend, even if something flares up in the Gulf. But I think crude oil is going to be heading down on the year with a lot of other commodities have already done that. And that means below $57 a barrel. Right now we're $67.
Well, as someone was observing to us yesterday, Paul, the ceasefire seems to be intact when the markets are closed. And when when the markets are open. When the markets are closed is when we get these little skirmishes that somehow settle by the time the trading week begins again. So, Mike McGlone, with oil prices, you know, kind of having come down, made the round trip from where they were before the start of the war, the U.S. is in its own special position because we're a net oil exporter. But what about countries that import their oil? How are they responding? How are they reacting? How are they positioning themselves? And how do you think about the price of oil as they try to take advantage of this downdraft in prices?
Well, Scarlett, I'm glad you went there. Consensus is they're all going to be building up the reserves. That's why I find it kind of silly when we talk about our reserve. We're a net exporter. We just don't really need it anymore like we did in the past. So they'll be doing that. So there'll be some of a bid below, but I think they'll get lower prices to do that. Remember what's happened. We had drill at will. Mr. Trump's mantra was kind of the U.S. Now it's gone global. We can add Iran to that, Iraq, UAE, Venezuela, the whole world's going to get plenty of oil. It's just a question of the key theme I'm worried about now for what typically makes oil make bottoms is now for oil to just stay stable.
Healthcare matters, but what matters most?
Having cover for the people who keep this business going.
Bonitas is there for you when it comes. Bonitas Medical Aid for South Africa. Visit bonitas.co.za and find your plan.
Now to the foot and mouth disease crisis. KwaZulu-Natal farmer Pete Keane warned months ago that government's response had no chance of working. He says the damage is not only about infected animals today, it is about lost breeding cycles, lower calving rates, and costs that could run for years. Here's Pete Keane.
I think the main reason behind why we were feeling in that space was because we felt that there was a disconnect. And we knew what the problem was. And in February last year, 2025, so I got involved in this because I went to a presentation at a conference and where representatives of the foot and mouth vaccine and industry as a whole were there pushing certain things about vaccines. And 5 minutes into the meeting, I ended up walking out because I understood quite clearly that those people that came to present on foot and mouth control were unenlightened and had the facts wrong. So I did walk back into that meeting at the end, but anyway, it turned out that my assumption was quite right. And I wrote a letter to the powers that be, Steenhuisen being one of them, or Minister Steenhuisen. And mid-June last year, with a 7-point plan, telling him that his plan that he's been exercising to control the disease. And I worded it quite clearly to say that he has a 0% chance of success in controlling the foot and mouth disease with the current actions of his department.
For you personally, you're a big farmer. You've got a lot of cattle. You said to me at the time in January that 100% of your herd were infected. What does it cost you personally, that inability to be able, being allowed to even vaccinate them because of state controls?
So that's a question I can't answer yet because it's a long-term equation, that, Alec. So, and put into perspective, so, and I did get this message through to the powers that be to say it can be as simple as one bull lying in a corner. And for those farmers that run 100 bulls, times about 25 or 30 cows per bull, and you work out how many cows they got, that bull sitting in the corner means those cows are not, that bull's got a headache. Those cows are not impregnated. So a bull that was mating, supposed to be mating cows in January, some people got the disease out of bulling season, some got inbreeding season, but on the whole, it's had an impact, and particularly for those that lined up, depending on what infection they had when.
And finally, to artificial intelligence. Bloomberg reports that OpenAI has discussed giving the US government a 5% stake as part of a public benefit fund. The idea is to share some of the gains from the AI boom. But it also raises a bigger question. Who should benefit from the value created by the world's most powerful AI companies? Listen in for more.
This idea is not necessarily a new one. The real headline in the report from the Financial Times from overnight was the size of the stake, the 5%. We've previously reported, and other outlets have too, that you know the AI companies, especially OpenAI, have floated this idea of giving the government a piece of their business, giving them shares to seed what would be a public benefit fund to redistribute some of the gains from the AI boom and maybe address some of the concerns that all of this newfound wealth and economic dislocation brought by the technology, that could somehow be softened. The blow from the AI rollout could be minimized by sharing the gains a little bit through this vehicle. And the administration has talked about this a little bit. President Donald Trump embraced the idea when asked by our own Amory Hordern last month on Air Force One, but the president offered no specifics beyond just saying that he had been in talks with some industry officials, and it's unclear whether negotiations are really active or advancing between the government and the company. It seems more right now that this is something the company is really trying to work out ahead of its IPO to come up with what the size of a stake could look like. What they're also envisioning is having other AI labs, such as Anthropic or Google's DeepMind, also offer stakes to the government. Now, whether those companies would share the same enthusiasm that Sam Altman has for it is unclear.
Giving away a 5% stake or selling a 5% stake?
Well, Paul, that is a great question because we can think back to almost a year ago when the U.S. Used the CHIPS Act money that it had set aside for Intel to actually purchase a stake in the chip maker. This would be different. The companies would actually give the stake as seed money for this public benefit fund.
And that's BizNews Daybreak. I'm Asim Anita. Thanks for listening. I hope you all have a wonderful weekend. We'll keep track of our matters and leave the noise to everyone else. Cheers.
Daybreak on BizNews is proudly brought to you by Bonitas, the medical aid for South Africa.